Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, special guest Shanna Morris, the Fort Novosel Installation Lead Sexual Assault Response Coordinator, joins us to discuss Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month as we focus on empower, protect, and prevent. Let's get started.
Well, hello, Fort Novosel. This is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander for Lister Army Health Clinic and the host for the Lister Health Talks podcast. Welcome you back to another episode. Hey, we have been really working throughout the year to make sure that we bring you content that stands the test of time. So we've gotten a lot of great feedback. In fact, we just want to welcome our listeners that are outside of the Fort Novosel and Wiregrass area, across the Defense Health Agency and many other installations. We appreciate your feedback and listening in, dialing into our show. Hey, today and this month is Sexual Assault Awareness Prevention Month. The Army and the Department of Defense considers this a very important topic, a priority. We are making sure that we are engaging in that space and bringing you information as best as we can. My guest today is Ms. Shanna Morris, the Installation Lead Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. She's been with us here on Fort Novosel for a couple of years, and I'm going to let her kind of introduce herself a little bit, but I want to welcome you to the show, Ms. Morris.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
It's wonderful to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, and then start introducing the audience to what this month is all about.
Sure. So I am the Installation Lead Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for Fort Novosel and the Aviation Center of Excellence. I have been on Fort Novosel for almost 5 years. May will actually be my fifth year, so very excited to continue serving the area and working with Fort Novosel and that population. Prior to coming to Fort Novosel, I was an actual sexual assault response coordinator for the Marine Corps, stationed at Camp Pendleton and Okinawa, Japan. So I have a total of about 10 years working under the DOD Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. So very excited to continue my work.
Certainly bring a lot of strong background, and I'll refrain because I have many family members who are Marines or former Marines, and so I'll refrain from my Army jokes about it. But hey, tell me a little bit about the month. What are we focusing on this month? What does it help us really appreciate?
Sure. So April is Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month, and it really highlights our support for survivors and bringing awareness to the topic of sexual assault. So we really kind of do a lot of events that bring prevention and awareness coordination to the installation. And this is actually a nationwide awareness month. So we like to partner with our civilian agencies as well to really highlight us working together as a community in order to prevent sexual assault.
You said a key term there that I think it'll be good to kind of package a little bit. I think if you've been in the military for anything more or even anywhere close to just even a year, you cannot even live under a rock without knowing that there is training, available resources, how to respond and everything. But let's start the conversation a little bit about what does prevention look like. It seems like we've kind of shifted, not shifted focus, but really engaged in that space a little bit more in recent, or how would you say we were unpackaging the prevention area?
Sure. So really looking at prevention kind of from a holistic approach, understanding that there are several steps that happen before an actual incident of sexual assault takes place. So really focusing on education and knowledge of the warning signs in order to prevent an incident. We're really focusing on direct, distract, delegate, which are our key three bystander intervention techniques that we use for the Army. And what's great is direct, distract, delegate can also be used out in the community for our civilian population in order to work towards preventing sexual assault.
That's great. Okay, so direct, distract, delegate, obviously pretty recognizable terms, but how do we look at that in terms of the intervention and prevention area?
Sure. So I think working together and understanding what the warning signs are when we start to see maybe some unprofessional conduct or unprofessional communication, whether that's in the workplace or outside of the workplace. So when we look at direct, we want to feel comfortable and going straight up to the person and saying, hey, you know, that just seems a little bit off, or maybe that's just not appropriate conversation, or the person you're talking to looks a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe you want to disengage or maybe rethink your conversation. So direct is when we're actually actually going up to the person and acknowledging the conversation and putting a stop to it. Distract is really where we're kind of doing something to intervene to mess up the conversation in a sense. maybe, you know, hey, the supervisor is coming, or hey, is that the police officer walking by? So we're distracting them, kind of getting off of the conversation in general when we're talking about some sort of inappropriate communication.
Yeah.
And then delegate is where we're really probably going to maybe grab a friend, grab a coworker, grab a supervisor, and help with the delegation of communication and say, hey, we know maybe if I don't feel comfortable going up directly to that person, my friend, supervisor, or coworker will.
Right. No, wow, that's helpful to understand that a little bit better. And you know what, you're going through these three things, and maybe our listeners are going through it as well. And I'm just thinking about those different opportunities, honestly, that I may have missed throughout my career, but those few times where I actually did something, and maybe I wasn't applying these exact terms, but in essence I was, where it took that first time for me to say, hey, there was some maybe off-color conversation that's happening, or maybe a employee of mine said something in a hall that's meant as joke and everything, and my ability, not awkwardly or anything else, to just say, hey, you know, that's not really what we're about here, or finding the words to say it, because if you don't have the words to say it, you know, there's a barrier there. So I don't know if that maybe resonates with our listeners, but so now I'm kind of thinking about what are some other barriers that prevent people from jumping into these three, you know, aspects of direct, distract, delegate in the prevention space. Any thoughts on barriers that they may have that maybe people would resonate with people?
Sure. So a lot of people just feel completely uncomfortable and not really sure what to do or how to help. So when we're talking about our outside community, you know, some 5'2 person might feel uncomfortable going to a 6-foot tall person just because of the height. Or maybe when we're talking about the uniform population rank, how does a sergeant maybe go and speak up and talk and correct maybe a officer?
Yeah.
So being mindful of that, but understanding that having the courage to step up and intervene, we're helping, protecting, and probably saving a life.
That's amazing. There's that aspect of, you know, you hear it often, and a lot of times with folks that are kind of starting their leader tenure, where like, oh, I don't, they're admitting that their confrontation is a very difficult space to come into. And I love that term you said that's familiar to all of us, courage. And sometimes, you know, when you're not comfortable and you're not practiced in confrontation, good professional effective confrontation, finding the words for that first time is overwhelming. It's stressful to be able to say hi, you know, because, and sometimes it comes out like an outburst, right? Or, you know, you send it up the chain to the highest levels in order of leadership, but really that's not what it's about. Just come into the space as a human being and say, hey, we all owe ourselves a better community. So that's good. And I love that, just the courage to dive into that. That's great. I may come back to the prevention and intervention space. I think there's a lot there, because I think our teams, we know how to respond, you know, and for our listeners, we're going to have a lot of information about, you know, how to respond if an incident's there. It should be charted territory for most of you, but if not, we're going to have it available to you on our websites. Hey, I want to continue to dive into the intervention space. We already talked a little bit about barriers, but you know, as I'm thinking about it, you know, we've talked before, a lot is kind of coming together in terms of just being a good person in the area you're in the community you're in. And I know we've talked about before about, as SHARP has become even more higher of a priority and more definitive terms, I guess you could say, building it and integrating it into culture and climate. And so I'm curious about what your thoughts are of maybe how you've seen us do that so far up to this point, and what maybe you would like to see us do as leaders and individuals of integrating intervention, or really everything that is SHARP, into our culture and climate.
I think the key thing that really has been beneficial when we are really implementing the prevention aspect of sexual assault is having our leader engagement and leader involvement when it comes to prevention, whether it's safety stand downs, whether it's walking throughout the footprint and just having a very brief conversation with one of their soldiers in regards to sexual assault and what they do in order to prevent that or their thought processes on it. We also have been very diligent here with having our leaders and supervisors really fully on board with actually training their service members when it comes to sexual assault prevention and what that looks like. So being a part of the conversation, having those small group discussions, and really work together as a team in their culture and their climate to improve sexual assault prevention.
There's no better education for yourself than trainings and that leader-led aspect really involving the space. And I've got to give kudos. I mean, I've been here for 2 years, and I know, and at your leadership, Ms. Morris, that we are very devoted as a Fort Novacell leadership cohort on this topic. We talk strategy and what we're doing and how we're doing it every month with the senior leaders of this post. So it is very clear we're all in. And so it's definitely a challenge to the rest of us, you know, as individuals beyond the leadership space, really to engage, you know, and when I say beyond the leadership space, beyond the senior leadership, you have commitment at that level. And now it's about, you know, continuing to involve and invest, even the frontline that says we are going to move forward as a community. I think that's impressive. Hey, let's, you know, you have a couple of fantastic, and it's unique to me because I have not seen it before, a couple of training platforms here that we've used and that I think have been very effective in my personal experience in really helping people appreciate how to intervene. Could you take us through, I mean, of course, there's leader-led training, but this is a next evolution of that. What's this training platforms and resources that we have here at Fort Novacell?
So currently at Fort Novacell, we stood up what's called the USACE Training Center. And in that training center is actually SHARP training. Mm-hmm. But it's not just your standard SHARP training. And when I mean SHARP, I mean sexual assault, sexual harassment, sexual assault prevention program that the Army has. The training is actually an applied learning knowledge concept where service members and civilians are allowed to actually practice bystander intervention techniques to feel comfortable with actually intervening. So they kind of know, what do the red flags look like? How should I intervene? When should I intervene? So all of that is discussed and actually practiced in these scenarios that we have. And they're in actual rooms that are structured in an actual environment where a sexual assault could take place. Mm. And so that's a great learning environment to actually be immersed in order to actually practice your knowledge.
Yeah, I bet that's, I'm interested. What's kind of been your observations? I mean, you took me through the train the trainer, if you will, just a couple of weeks ago, and definitely got a chance to kind of observe that space. And it's really amazing. I mean, it really does feel like an environment where, be it a gym or what have you, where you can start to appreciate the environment that you might have to exercise intervention. But what's been some of your observations of how that's gone? Does it get pretty uncomfortable for people, or is it emotional? What does that look like?
Yeah, so when everyone first comes in, they're very hesitant. They're not really sure what to expect or what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think what is unique to us is we pass out intervention signs. So the observers can hold an intervention sign up when there's a red flag or when they want to intervene or there should be an intervention, but they're not really sure how to do it. And that's that discussion. But once when someone comes up with an intervention technique, then there is a rippling effect of discussion. Mm. And learning from your peers and subordinates is what is so encouraging. And then it also builds team camaraderie, which goes to building that culture and climate within that unit specifically.
That's great. It's an interesting space for sure. And it's a fantastic space because there is no better builder of confidence and really, as we've mentioned before, courage than getting exposure in the environment and the dynamics that you're going through. So it's a little bit more comfortable the next time you go. Just like anything we do in the military, right? You go to the range once in your whole career, you're probably not too comfortable firing a weapon, not to mention proficient. But you go a couple times a year, would certainly get more comfortable, and the loud bang noise is not as difficult. So, and I know, and this can actually be much more difficult for anyone, because to be able to stand up to something that the Army takes as such priority can be a little scary, and a lot of times people don't even realize that they're saying something off color, and they just need a little course correction, right? And so I think that's helpful. Well, our time is kind of drawing to a close. I think we got, we could be sitting here all day to talk about the many, many efforts that we do here at Fort Novosel. But I want to make sure that we're touching base on a few things about really eligibility, right? So for those who don't know, Miss Morris is not an entity of Lister, and we have many guests that are not an entity of Lister, but an extension of our family, because we want to support. But, what does that response look like? Or really, I should say, if you have had something happen that you feel like you want to raise the hand for, what does that look like? We spoke a lot on intervention. I just want to touch on a little bit of how do I engage if I feel like I've seen something or I've been a potential victim of something. What would you have for our listeners?
Sure. So first and foremost, we have our installation 24/7 hotline. And that's so key to how we respond to sexual assault and crisis management, and really helping those ensure that they are protected by certain rights that they may have coming forward as a victim of sexual assault, and then also getting them the help that they are requesting and advocating for them. Even if they're not really sure what to do, they can still call, and our what's called SHARP professional, who is a credentialed victim advocate, or SARC, will answer the phone. They have credentials, so there's confidentiality, and so they're able to have a discussion on what is the best way forward for that victim. We don't make the choice for them. It's actually the victim's choice what they would like to do. So we give them the resources and information and let them feel empowered to move forward on their right track on what is better for their healing.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. It's comforting too, as we talked before, that these phone numbers and a lot of these resources have remained unchanged, consistent for us, right? And so it's an important thing. I want to shift a little bit too, because we talked about folks that are engaged in the space, but I also want to recognize that, kind of adjusting our angle here, we're about to enter into the graduation period of a lot of our high schoolers, which means summer comes, and then many of them might be going off to college. And so parents, there's just a lot more bearing down on students, college students, in terms of inputs and different things they're exposed to than I was a couple of years ago in college. And, so it's kind of almost spooky, I'm sure, for parents, or maybe not. Maybe they're just curious. What's some ways that they can start that conversation to kind of build some confidence, either with their kiddo that's heading off to school, or other tools or other advice that you might have for that population?
I think focusing on what we mentioned earlier when we talk about direct, distract, and delegate, and having an actual open and honest conversation with their children, especially their young adult children who are moving forward into the college space or training environment, whichever their career path leads them. The key thing is for parents to actually practice direct, distract, and delegate with their children so that they start to feel comfortable when they move forward and onto their own lives. Practicing is so important so that they start to feel comfortable with intervening themselves, or if something happened to them directly, how to handle it. And the key thing for that is parents can still call our 24/7 hotline, and we can provide resources to wherever that child may be.
Oh, wow.
Which is really beneficial for everyone involved.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Wow, that's really helpful. Hopefully then that transcends for a couple of you. You mentioned, it's not just kind of implied that not just about college, but maybe somebody's, decided to join the military, right? And they're heading off after high school to the, hopefully, the Army. But if they've enlisted other services, it's acceptable. But in all honesty, it's important to know and helpful, too, to get those resources. It is out there, and we're ready to support you. Hey, we're closing down in our time. Any other comments you might have that our listeners may need to know before we close out our time today?
Just to highlight a couple of statistics when we talk about sexual assault and looking at the society and nation altogether. So not just it being within the Army, but society as well. Almost every 68 seconds, another American experiences a rape. Some point in time, one of us is affected in one way, shape, or form of some sort of sexual assault. We have 1 in 6 women who experience an attempted or completed sexual assault, and then 1 in 33 men have also experienced an attempted or completed sexual assault. So those numbers are very important. And then it's so important when we talk about prevention, having the conversation starting at a young age. And I know it could be a little bit scary, but if we really look at our vulnerable age for sexual assault, it's actually the age range of 12 to 17. So if we look at prevention, really starting that conversation with our younger generation so that they understand the prevention aspects of sexual assault, kind of those red flags, and also feeling comfortable coming forward to discuss that with whether it's their parents, their grandparents, teachers, anybody within their life in order to help get them support and the process of healing moving forward.
Well, that is a great way to end because it really brings home how severe the environment is that our families, our kids, our loved ones all live in, and the dangers that are out there that we have to recognize and appreciate. And I for one, you know, you said something that really spoke to me about particularly the age range. And, you know, as a parent myself of right now a 10-year-old, I'm sometimes, you know, want to go back to, well, when did I have you know, the talk or whatever it was that was kind of helping me develop. And frankly, it was later than probably what our kiddos need today because I didn't have a screen within arm's reach everywhere I went. I didn't have, you know, kids getting exposed to stuff. And there's just a lot more on their plate. And so it's definitely a challenge to all of us to really just to expose our kiddos to the risks out there, but also that they're not alone. And I think that's helpful. Well, Ms. Morris, I just want to thank you so much for giving us so much of your time today. We could, without a doubt, spend much more time. There's a lot more to talk about, but want to encourage our listeners to continue to kind of dive into this a little bit more and really consider what does it mean for you to intervene? And then for leaders, what does it mean to educate and inform and train your folks on what it means to intervene and really get into that space of prevention? We talked about delegate, distract, and direct. And if you haven't already heard about those terms before, definitely dig into those in terms in light of the program here, because we want to make sure that we are really digging in earnest. And what is not a better month than the Sexual Assault Awareness Prevention Month? And then for leaders and really all of us, I want to challenge you that you may not feel like confrontation is a comfortable space for you. And I understand that. And I think everyone does. We've all been there. But it is about practicing and getting engaged and finding what does courage mean for you. A lot of times in our line of work in the military, courage is bound by you know, a Medal of Honor story that's super heroic, and that is certainly an important thing. But in this space, courage also means intervening on behalf of those around you and in the community we want to continue to inspire, invest, and nurture into. As always, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening in and dialing in. We hope you dial into our conversation next month as well. And if you haven't gone back again and listened to some of our other podcasts and other episodes, well, I want to encourage you to do so. It's exciting and wonderful content, and really just such a pleasure for you guys to dial in and listen to us. Hey, this is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt signing off, reminding you that the healthiest chapter is ahead and that the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. Catch our May episode as we sit down with our behavioral health team to discuss Mental Health Awareness Month. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.